Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, and for this hour, host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. I am joined for the fullness of the hour by two very, very splendid, stellar individuals. I am joined by Sister Evangelist Sharon Amos and Elder Tim Kriegmer. They are members and active participants in the Life of Judah Ministries, located in Coatesville, under the pastoral ministry of Montez O. Jones. And I've come to know Sister Evangelist Sharon through the dissemination of God's Word, a.k.a. the Philadelphia Bible Society, and by way of Sister Sharon, a lovely phone conversation a few weeks back with Elder Tim. These are two very dear and very fine people. Tim and Sharon, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And the engineer, Mr. Frank. Thank you.
Oh, Mr. Frank is the best. There's no question. Frankly, I'm just along for the ride. Frank working the controls and you guys sharing your story. It's my privilege. I'm going to start, if I may. Ladies first. I'm a born and bred old school proper Bostonian, so I subscribe to the protocols and proprieties. And so, ladies first.
Awesome.
Sister Sharon Amos, would you be so kind as to share something of your story of faith? How did you come to know Jesus Christ? How did you grow up in him? Share with us, please.
Yes. As a child at age 11, I followed my dad, Deacon James Amos, to church, who God has delivered from alcoholism. And I follow him. As I went to church at age 11, I began to sit under God's word, get the teaching at that young age, and also I made myself active in the service by becoming an usher. I always liked working in the church, doing activities. My faith began to grow as I began to learn about God, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And as I got older and closer in a deeper relationship with God, I began to be more active and start different things in the church, such as being on the choir, the secretary of the choir, and being in different plays. And as I became an adult, showing up at church consistently is my tangible expression of faith. Influences me, is a lot to do with motivation as a believer, and it deepens my spiritual journey through this course. Now, this doesn't have anything to do with the feelings. This emphasizes faith over feelings, and it solidifies spiritual roots. And it's also enable our community that reinforces a deeper commitment. My faith is being persistent and being a soul winner. Just persistent, pushing, pressing, and being consistent as a soul winner, no matter what obstacles may come my way. I have to remember that I have to press towards my goal, and my goal is to win a soul like somebody won me into Christ. So that's my faith, and I grew up not knowing faith overnight, but being under his word, knowing his word, hearing his voice, detecting his voice, and staying in prayer, powerful prayer, along with me and my dad. My dad used to wake me up 6 o'clock every morning as 11 or 12-year-old, knock on my bedroom door, come on, Sharon, it's time to pray, very consistently. I grew up having a prayer life, building a relationship with God. Then when my dad died, he gave me the baton to carry on. And now I'm a full adult. My faith carries stronger. I will show up when no one else shows up. I will be persistent because there is a spiritual goal. So, yes, it gets tough. It's not easy. But I have to remember God has put this in me, so I have to keep pressing and pressing, because it's all about building up the kingdom of God. And I love making myself active in the church. I'm not built to stand still. I'm not built to sit down and warm a church. I'm not built just to clap my hands and give God the praise. Yes, praise is in order. I'm built to be active and to be motivated to inspire others so we can all grow together, not grow apart, but grow together. That's what my faith is.
You know, Sister Sharon.
Yes.
Yeah, if I may interject, a couple of years ago, I had the privilege of writing a book. I had a private printer. We made about 150 copies. I don't have it on Amazon or anything of that sort. But the title, there are three words in the title that were given to me one time, some 25 or more years ago. I was driving north to Boston. It was a beautiful spring day. I was going through what they call the hills of Connecticut. And the Lord dropped these three words into my lap. And they've been with me ever since, and they became the title of the book. And one of your words is built in. Breathe, blossom, and build. So the breathe, the beautiful fragrance of your Heavenly Father's holy and saving love, blossom in the grace and truth of Jesus Christ by the enabling power of His Holy Spirit, and build or be built in His name and for His purpose and unto His glory. So I love the fact that you are describing your Christianity, that you are a woman who is built to render service to God. I love also the fact, and this is an increasingly outmoded and rare phenomenon, but you were blessed to have been raised up, not simply in the church, but within the household of a true believer, a.k.a. your wonderful father. That's just a wonderful blessing from heaven.
Yes, it is.
I praise God.
Yes, it is.
Elder Tim Kriegmer, share with us your story, sir.
Yeah, once again, good afternoon, Pastor Lacey. It's good to see the face. We caught each other by voice. It's good to see the face.
We did. And I shared the same.
Yeah, and your A-plus engineer, Mr. Frank. First, I thank God for the opportunity to share.
Oh, Pastor Elder Tim, forgive me. You're incorrect. He's not A-plus. He's A++++.
All right. I had a couple more E's on there. And the symbol of plus. Yes, I like your words. You mentioned to be built, which is a verb, an action word, you know, humans to of themselves to take in. You know, I was raised in Coatesville. Under a tremendous mom, grandmother, and grandfather. Her dad died when I was in 10th grade. My mother was an opera singer, actor, stage play. She traveled. So
opera? Yeah. Opera? Are you serious?
Oh, man. You should hear it.
I love opera.
Yeah, we used to ask her to sing soul songs in an opera voice. Then we say, nah, stop, Mom. It's not juicy enough.
Oh, I would have loved to. I'm an opera buff. You're warming my heart here.
Yes, yes. She taught us how to do plays, you know, so we were characters around the dinner table on Sunday. But our grandfather, he was my first pastor. So I was a preacher's grandson and then a preacher's grandfather's pastor soon after he passed, September 19th in 1986. So we were raised up in the church. And this is before I realized God had called me. Not just to serve as a former pastor, but more so to do evangelism. And I wasn't sure that my experience was one day, me and my late wife, she passed January 2017. Before we were married, we actually lived together. And I remember one night, early in the morning, I was crying like a baby. And she shook me and said, what in the world is wrong with you? And I woke up and said, God wants me to do something. I don't know what it is. It's after I got to military. Then I came to realize, as God, with many prophets from Moses to Jeremiah, also with Jonah, I realized that God has actually called me, and it was prophesied to me. And my passion was always for people. That was my personality. And so God just kind of laced that on me and realized that I've called you. And so I've been involved in a lot of outreach. Several friends of mine, we've come together around the community, Coatesville, outside of Philadelphia, kind of Chester County area, setting up outreach, basically sharing that great commission. We would link in with people that we knew. It was ironic. We would link in. We will always have somebody where we can plug in our equipment. We made our outreach events where we would bring in city organizations. We bring in medical organizations. That's where the missionary side came in. We serve food and things like that. But the missionary side also helped me realize Yahweh God told the people, the Hebrews, that, you know, make sure you put food at the corners of your fields so the gleaners can come in. That's something that stuck with me for life. I pastored for about 16 years. I realized when I was pastor, I think I was doing more outside work as far as taking the church outside than inside. And so I actually retired about 2006 and devoted my life to evangelism.
Well, if I may just interject for a moment, and I'm going to bring you right back to sure. flesh out your story. I think it's a very helpful thing that as a missionary evangelist, that you have that pastoral work under your belt. I have found that sometimes we don't understand one another. I have found sometimes that evangelists can be a different breed from pastors. Yeah, missionaries and churches. I just think you've had your feet in both worlds, yes. and that is advantageous to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So your story is thrilling me. However, Elder Tim, we need to take a break. The station has a little business to do, but sounds on the good. Other end of the commercial break, we're going to bring you back to flesh out your story, okay?
All righty. Thank you, sir.
Praise God.
Yes.
Brad Lacey with Elder Tim Kriegmer and Sister Evangelist Sharon Amos of Judah Ministries out of Coatesville. We are returning with a second round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Elder Tim, you were amidst your story. It's intriguing me and even captivating me, as did Evangelist Sharon's story. Continue, please.
Yeah, I appreciate you. You mentioned about both worlds as pastoring and evangelism. I think of the apostolic movement there, you know, in the book of Acts and on. And that's something that God invoked inside of me. Of course, getting out the word is what he wants us to do. As believers, we honestly and we truly know that. But also when what I've come to learn, Pastor Lacey, is that when you talk to people, even if you aren't religious, in any facet, when you talk to people, you'll humanly find needs. You'll humanly find things that people are struggling with. Not everything is bad, but Scripture says, whatever you do, do as unto the Lord. You know, Scripture says, be slow to speak and quick to hear. And when you're slow to speak and quick to hear, you find out needs. And so, as Scripture says, the harvest is plentiful. We'll find out even later with Evangelist Sharon, when we share in this great ministry, mm-hmm. that the harvest is so plentiful that we really don't yes. have time to kind of not look and hear and take advantage and help one another, and particularly from the scriptural sense, because the outreach is about the word, and the missionary is to, you know, earthly or secularly help where help is needed in this world. So I really thank God for leading me. You know, of course, when I walked outside of God, as Paul said, sin was pleasurable. But one thing I realized, I didn't want to die in my sins in that way. But I thank God for still working with me, still giving me a vision, and him just encouraging me through others. And I have a great passion for making sure that people hear the gospel and do what we can in a missionary capacity also.
Well, I praise God to hear this. And I know from your story through personal conversation with you, you spent 6 years in the Army, and I would imagine that some of the lessons that you learned within your Army framework, the discipline alone, that you learned things that can be applicable to the field of evangelism. Am I correct?
You're very correct. Especially,
yes.
Yeah, applicable especially to the scripture that speaks about being swift to hear. Because in the military, you are mandated to listen. Because, you know, what basic training is about, it's all about being prepared for if you were in war. Whatever your MOS, military occupational specialty, is your job. So attentiveness was a great trait that I garnered from being in the military, listening.
It's a joy to hear. I was not in the military, but in my formative years as a believer, when I was a teen, I endured some severe psychological maladies. And it forced me at an early age to confront reality. And I find, as a minister of the gospel, I can't have my head in the clouds. I have to be looking soberly at what is real before me if I'm to effectively communicate
yes.
the word of God. So it's a similar phenomenon. We learn from our context.
It is.
God is preparing us, you know. Now, I want both you and Sister Sharon to know, and Sister Sharon actually joined us for a luncheon
yes.
that we held at my church back in August. It was sponsored
yes.
by the
yes.
Philadelphia Bible Society. There's another one coming down the pike in late October. I'll be in touch with you both. But I mention this because the rubric, Elder Tim, you mentioned you drew from the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 8, we read that there was joy in the city because the word of God was spreading. So we entitled these luncheons, Joy in the City. And we've invited churches and ministries to share how God is at work through what they're doing. And the luncheons have generated quite a bit of excitement. But that excitement that is being generated is predicated upon something that I more and more marvel. I didn't realize this prior to my work with the Bible Society, but how the Word of God, there are individuals throughout the city of Philadelphia, throughout all of the quadrants of the city, and of course in the surrounding environs, you folks are in Coatesville, but I'm in this prime place where I'm seeing how the Word of God is going out into the neighborhoods. And it is so encouraging to me. I didn't fully know that. We don't see this as much in the suburbs, sadly. But I praise God for the likes of the two of you. You are invested in disseminating the good news of Jesus Christ to those around you. And I'll ask Sister Evangelist Sharon to tackle this first. What are the challenges and what are the privileges in doing this work?
Ooh, the challenges is, I will have to say, that is getting people to come on board and being consistent. Some are, some aren't. That's the challenge. And even when they say they're consistent, if they fall short of something, I have to put myself in their place. I have to put myself in that spot so our goal will be fulfilled. Because my goal and my mission is to build up God's kingdom. And to win souls. You notice I keep mentioning about winning souls, because whatever we do, at the end of the day, it's all about winning souls to Christ. And I think that would be my main challenge, to get people on board, that's being consistent, faithful, and wholeheartedly. Because when you come on board, I just don't want your body, I want your heart in this. And I know, you know, you're only human. There are times where you can't do what you can't do, but this is where I come in. And the challenge is, because I live in Philly, the challenge is I got to fill that gap. I got to. There's no question. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. I have to do it. And that's where it comes in at. And the greater opportunity will flourish, because the more I press, the more I have faith in God that this will accomplish, and it will come into fruition. I have to put the work in it. If I have to work overtime,
you know, I the other day, today is Wednesday as we're recording this for Saturday's broadcast, I was in Philly on Monday afternoon. I had to be in North Philly and I had to be in South Philly, and because the appointment in South Philly was delayed at the other individual's end, I got to take a dinner at my favorite eatery in the city. Off the Ben Franklin Parkway.
Which one was that?
A Little Pete's off the Ben Franklin Parkway. Great place for a meal. And I mentioned this. You've got to try it. In fact, we'll go there together one day, I promise you.
Awesome.
The reason I mentioned this is because I sat with a beautiful lady in North Philly in her home. I had delivered some scripture material. And we became such lovely friends just over that half hour of being together.
Oh, that's great.
We held hands and prayed together. And I was so gratified knowing that that trip to Philly was worth it. One, for the personal rapport that had been established, but also in the knowledge that the Word of God was going to go forth through that dear lady and her husband. And the same over in South Philly. It's a consummate privilege to with my own eyes to see. Recently, I was in North Philly to support a friend of mine who was asked to sing at an open-air event, a street ministry, one Saturday. This would have been back in July. What a joy and a privilege. The Word of God was going all through that area.
Wow. Yes.
So what the two of you are on the front lines. Evangelism is frontline ministry.
Yes.
And I want you to know, and then Elder Tim, I'm going to bring you back on the other end of the break to answer the same question. You'll have ample time with your response. But I want you to know what a privilege it is for me to have you both on this broadcast. You are spiritual royalty.
Thank you.
You're working frontline ministry, and it is our privilege to have you.
Thank you.
Sister Evangelist Sharon Amos, Elder Tim Kriegmer, both of Judah Ministries out of Coatesville, under the pastorate of Montez O. Jones. This is Brad Lacey. The three of us will return on the other end of the commercial divide for further conversation. Thank you. Brad Lacey, returning with the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, joined afresh by Elder Tim Kriegmer and Sister Evangelist Sharon Amos of Judah Ministries out of Coatesville. Elder Tim, please, from your vantage point, what are the challenges and what are the privileges, if you will, of being evangelists in the city of Philadelphia or in Coatesville?
Yeah, you know, the challenge, and I'll draw that from Scripture, from Yeshua Jesus Christ, where in Matthew 9, 37, 38, he mentions, and I'll echo with our present leader, Sharon Evangelist Amos, mentioned that the harvest is plentiful when you desire to, when God has called you, or you simply desire to go out and share his word, which is perpetual, open air, starting a conversation, confrontation that we've learned about with people from all aspects, beliefs, etc. We understand that part. We essentially do that as humans at work, the library, we meet, we talk, we learn people. But that second portion, the laborers are few. And, you know, it's just like a job that, you know, is looking for people. And, you know, they're underserved because they don't have enough people coming in, filling out resumes. And this great work, the laborers are few, because I couple that thought with what Jesus inspired John to write in John 12 and 32, when he said, if I be lifted up, and this is a promise that he told us from him, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And we understand Scripture talks about a broad way leading to destruction, narrow way leading to heaven, but he promised to draw all men, which includes women. She's a part of mankind. So for me, when you decide to do and desire to do outreach, wanting people to do, and as Evangelist Sharon mentioned, filling the gaps, when, you know, like at work, you know, and I don't mean to use a psychoanalogy, but one that people can be mentally aware of, and you have people out, and now you have to pick up the slack a little bit. That can be a little challenging. So, you know, we always pray for every Christian, and then as an organization or assembly gather, whenever they gather, every place of worship, every church, to develop outreach outreach ministry, because number one, Jesus commissioned that to us. And then as we're concerned about family, loved ones, people, agape, we love them because God loves them. He said, I'll draw all men. So that's something that could be not so much painful. That's a challenge because you want to see, you know, concerts. You ask people to come. Marketing teaches us to buy this, buy that. Football games, undersold, you know. And so, you know, we want to make sure God is not undersold. So we always have a prayer that churches would develop outreach to some capacity. The missionary work will come because people have needs and such. So, but the privilege is knowing that, as you mentioned, Pastor Lacey, that in coupled with John 12:32, that Jesus said he'll draw. So we don't want to be blinded by race, color, what we see, whether that be homeless, young person, deaf, blind. He said that if I be lifted up, he'll draw others. And we want to see people make it to the kingdom. So that's the perfect side, knowing we got the word out. And so we allow Christ to do the rest. And we're hopeful in prayer that others will come to him.
Yeah, I think it's important to understand we have our work to do. In fact, in our Bible class earlier today, we were drawing upon John 5, in which Jesus says, my Father is always at his work, and I too am always working. You and I, the three of us, we have our work for the kingdom. But yes, we have to trust that Jesus is simultaneously doing his work.
Great point.
And without him doing his work, our labor is in vain, you know? Yeah. I would also add, you've made a distinction, and it's a helpful one, and it's an interesting one, between evangelism and mission. This book that I mentioned that I wrote entitled Breathe, Blossom, and Build, subtitled A Personal Schematic to Christian Life and Ministry, I mentioned that the four basic tools, this is the, comprises the second section of the volume, which is to blossom, the four tools of our trade to grow in Christ. Number one is the word. Number two is prayer. Number three is fellowship. And number four, I identify within my schematic as service. And service can be ministering to the poor, or it can be evangelization of our neighborhoods.
Yes.
But when we lend ourselves to Christian service, praise God, if it's and we look to the Lord for an anointing, we don't have to deal with the pressure of result. We can trust in Christ that with his work in and through us, that the fruit will be brought forth as brings glory to him. So we don't need to be laboring with a burden that we have to produce.
Yes.
It's going to be a natural production courtesy of Christ at work, is it not?
Yes.
Praise God. And I'm also very pleased that you are, and I share the same. I come from Boston, which is more of an Anglo-Catholic, Anglo-Celtic or Italian world. I come down to Philadelphia, which has a much heavier African-American populace. I've traveled abroad into both Russia and India. And the gospel makes no distinction. In fact, these luncheons that we've been hosting have been geared towards bridging the gap and bringing together suburban with urban churches, black churches with white churches, Catholic churches with Protestant churches, doing something and making a small contribution to bridging the gap where there are divisions. The Bible says we are one in Christ. And as you hit the you hit the streets of the harvest field, I think you discover this. Am I right, Sister Sharon?
Yes, yes, I hear you. Yes, you are. Yes,
and everyone has that need, doesn't everyone?
Yeah.
Praise God. Well, tell me, when you're out working the field, the evangelism field, mm-hmm. you both were blessed with having been raised up in the church. But you're dealing with a lot of people now for whom the church is an alien commodity. They were not so raised. So what's happening there? What's the dynamic like when you're trying to reach these folk?
Well, it's strange that you said that, because just 2 weeks ago, last week maybe, our evangelist team, excuse me, had the opportunity to go out and spread God's word, to witness to the unbeliever on the unchurched, and ran into a few people that wasn't raised in the church. And it is challenging, because one thing I learned, that when I'm witnessing to someone that doesn't have that capacity of growing up in the church, or just not church period, I have to be, in other words, on their level mentally. In other words, I'm speaking of humility. I allow them to speak. I allow them to say what they see.
Yes.
I become a listener. My ears is all theirs. I become a listener and listen and intake what they say. So, you know, and I won't interrupt. I let them get what they need out. Then I can encourage them through my personal testimony, because we encourage one another through our testimony. I remember saying the testimony, giving the testimony based on what I went through. And the person said, oh, my God, you went through it. I say, yes, and God is no respect of person. Because I'm saved and you're not saved, that don't mean he's going to take care of me and not take care of you. That's not the kind of God we serve. So we overcome by me giving her my testimony that encouraged her and motivated her. So this is what we do when we go out and witness. We all ears. We listen, and it's very important to listen, allow them to express themselves. They may can't quote scripture because they unchurched, and it's okay. It's okay. So it's about love. It's about showing love and allow them to feel that love more than just say it, because love is an action word. So it's very challenging.
Well, if I may, yes, it is. But you're doing something else. You're expressing humility. Praise God. That's is utterly essential.
Yes.
It's a prerequisite to your work of evangelism. You are taking the time to listen, another prerequisite. You're doing something else, and it's implicit in your remarks. You are developing relationship.
Yes.
And because these folks didn't have a relationship with the church prior, they
right.
now have one with you, and you and I are the church, are we not?
Yes, we are the church, yes.
It says so.
I think of a very dear friend and colleague of mine in my own sphere of ministry. He was doing missionary work, and with Trans World Radio, and a lot of their work plays out in Muslim environs. And they learned that if you're looking to share Christ with a Muslim, all of the preaching in the world is going to get you nowhere. What the Muslim people want to see is that you are real, that they can see Christ in you. You're presenting him with who you are. You're embodying Christ. So with humility, taking the time to listen, and also with developing the personal relationship, how far God can take that. Praise God. We're just about out of time in this final, this particular segment. Elder Tim, I'm going to start with you on the other end. Although, just to be honest with you both, I just need to take a moment or two to redirect, and then I'll come right back to you both, and Elder Tim will pick up with you. I also would like to hear from you both just a word or two about your church, Judah Ministries.
Yes. Yeah.
But more in the next and final segment of The Great Message, Brad Lacey, Elder Tim Kriegmer, and Sister Evangelist Sharon Amos. We'll be back in just a moment. Thank you. Brad Lacey returning with the final round of the hour for The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Before we proceed apace with the final segment of our conversation, it would be an appropriate moment to offer a personal word. And if I may, reflections in the aftermath of Charlie Kirk's murder. We may or may not agree with Mr. Kirk's politics, but I do want to say a good man has been lost, an excellent man even. Charlie Kirk was forthright yet polite, both determined and devout. He was, by all accounts, kind, warmly disposed, free of enmity or malice, filled with joy. He was a follower of Jesus Christ, from whom emanated his foundations of thought and direction for his life. He understood at both an instinctive and conceptual level that human dignity and liberty on an individual and a societal level exist as stemming from Christianity, including the so-called American experiment. He was not a theocrat. He was neither racist nor homophobic, let alone sexist. He was not a white Christian evangelist, which is a phrase that can be bandied about, and there are those, no doubt, who subscribe to it. But what we can say is that he was awakened and energized. He did awaken and did energize a demoralized and otherwise desultory body of youth. He would meet those with whom he disagreed on their turf. He wanted nothing less than genuine civil discourse. He brought conservatism and Christianity to an academic order that had grown depraved in its smug, inhospitable, and one-dimensional myopia of leftist thought. He never flinched to declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. He will be missed. But his work lives on, as an untold legion of concerned citizens have been galvanized. We feel his loss at a very deep level, but the world will know who and for what he stood over the coming months and years, not through modes of destructive behavior, but commencing with vigils and prayer gatherings, by way of devout and responsible lives of fruitful engagement on behalf of truth and love, those twin bastions of orderly and constructive life, as embodied in the life of our beloved Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and is heralded now by the late, and I might, for my own belief, martyred Charlie Kirk. I would simply add that there are a number of atheists coming forward now who encountered Charlie Kirk, and because of his character, his Christ-like character, they are now reporting in the aftermath of his passing that they are returning to church and beginning to look to God. That is the ultimate testament to this man's life. Praise God. That being said, Sister Sharon, Elder Tim, I'm so pleased you're here. And I want you to tell us, you can add to my remarks if you are inclined. I want you also to tell us about Judah Ministries out of Coatesville.
Okay. Judah Ministry, I've been with Judah Ministry for 5.5 years now. Judah Ministry is Kojic, and it's actually a Bible-based ministry in Coatesville, PA. Founded by Montez O. Jones with a vision to serve the community and meet the special and mental as well as social and economic needs for all types of people with all different types of walk of life. Pastor Jones, which is the founder of Judah Ministry, has a church motto. And I love the motto that he has. It's called Faith, Family, and Fellowship. And with all that being said, with all that, the church also has a mission to build personal faith and restore family structure and provide fellowship through a Christ-centered atmosphere. And this is how we operate under that motto. So Judah Ministry is basically a Pentecostal Christian denominational church. Judah Ministry also has a vision and a mission. The vision is to build a city reflecting God's principle and to meet all the needs in the community, whether it's spiritual needs, mental needs, or social. The ministry is excellent. It's excellent, and it will encourage and motivate, gravitate, Christ-centered, and transform lives. We are a based church, Bible-based church, who believe in God, who believe in the Trinity. So that's my intake on Kojic and our founder, which is Pastor Montez O. Jones. He gives the unadulterated word of God, the truth. He don't sugarcoat anything. And that's what I love about it, because the truth will march on and will continue to march on. And the Bible said the truth shall make you free. So we have a dynamic, pastor. It's not there to make your ears tingling all the time. He will bring truth and light to the dark world. That's what I love about it.
I love that verse. Yes, if I may, I love that verse, that the words of Christ, you will know the truth.
Yes.
And the truth will set you free. We were talking earlier about the need for constructive confrontation with reality. So often we're hiding from things, whatever those things may be. Elder Tim, what's it like being an elder with Judah Ministries?
Oh, it's tremendous. I've known Pastor Montez. He's younger than me. Today, actually, it's my birthday. I turned 61.
Oh, happy birthday.
So he's in his late 40s. He'll get a copy of this. He may say, don't tell him. But he's a tremendous pastor. It's obvious for those who've known him, such as I have, that God has called him a kind of a Jeremiah-like, probably when he was, in his mother's womb.
Yes.
He is tremendous, very well known to the region, serves also as a city council member for the South Coatesville Municipality. So he's busy man, very well in tune. And he's a very, scripture says a good name is rather to be chosen, great riches, loving favor than silver and gold. And that fits him, that really fits him. And to echo what Evangelist Amos was mentioning, his passion, not because he's a city council member, that he works for the people and so much comes across his desk, but he has a passion, a very, very, very strong passion for people to be saved, and it allows for missionary work, people who desire missionary work, who have become members, who have that mindset, come forth and mention and suggest ideas, which he allows us to do, to present them, to go out, think tank, man, Evangelist Amos and our shepherd mother, we always say, we're going to think tank first, Pastor, then present it to you to see if this works in your vision. That's something we really appreciate, vision. And so you have a pastor who is vision-minded like yourself, Pastor Lacey. Now you'll find yourself as a member supporting the vision, being an active part of the vision, and then thirdly, realizing you must be about vision. You must be about vision. Whether you're a part of an auxiliary, pray for the vision, give your best resources, which are not only money, but time, food, clothes, can of beans. It's a vision church. And he's a great singer, too. He sang with the professional choir, the Wilmington Chester Master Choir, when they won a Grammy Award.
and that's fabulous. But I have to tell you, Elder Tim, you already had me with your mother or grandmother being an opera singer.
Yes.
So you had me back then, a.k.a. Jerry Maguire. A.k.a. Jerry Maguire, you had me at hello, right? Praise God. Hey, we're out of time, but I want to follow up and become better acquainted with you both. We'll do some lunch or dinner at Little Pete's one day. I'll make that happen, I promise you. This is Brad Lacey with Elder Tim Kriechmer and Sister Evangelist Sharon Amon of Judah Ministries out of Coatesville under the pastoral ministry of Montez O. Jones. The pleasure has been ours. We pray that the blessing is yours.
Thank you. All right.
God bless you.
Thank you, guys. God bless you all. Take care.